As a man, just be dependable.
You are Locked On Fantasy Basketball, your daily podcast on fantasy basketball. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team, every day.
And welcome to the Locked On Fantasy Basketball podcast brought to you by Basketball Monster. My name is Josh Lloyd and you can find me on Twitter as always at @RedRock_BBall. I should have mentioned that I am the lead fantasy analyst at BasketballMonster.com as well. We're right into the dead period of the NBA season. That doesn't mean there's not fantasy stuff to talk about as we prepare for the coming season. I'm deep in the middle of doing the projections for this coming season. Some interesting things are coming out so far with the teams that I've gone through. What we're going to be looking at in today's podcast is looking at players who are either injured currently or miss a significant chunk of last season due to injuries, whether those injuries could pose a problem for them in this coming season as well, and how we should be looking at that in terms of their value moving forward. So, Michael Bolton.
Let's get to it.
All right. Guys, in terms of the Red Rock redraft leagues, there are only spots left in two leagues currently. It is a Roto League and a Points League. I believe they are both the $100 Roto League and the $100 Points League are the only ones that have got spots left. So I think there's maybe six or seven spots left across those two leagues. That is it for the Red Rock Challenge for this league. We've filled up over 20 head-to-head leagues. We've filled up 11 Roto Leagues. I think 10 points leagues as well. Maybe we'll do another couple of points leagues if this one fills up, plus the 13 dynasty leagues, plus three draft only leagues, which will, more of those will be coming in September as well. Once we get these standard Roto and points leagues filled up, just one of each of those leagues left. So go and check my timeline or send me a Twitter message or send me a tweet asking for the links to those leagues if you want in. That is all that will be left for this coming season. So thank you for everyone who's been involved in those. We're also about 24 hours away from the Red Rock Dynasty rookie drafts commencing, so they're going to be happening very, very soon. Hope you're ready for those. Let's talk injuries and players who were injured either last season or heading into this season and what we can expect from them moving forward. The first guy we're going to talk about is DeMarcus Cousins, now of the Golden State Warriors. Boogie was putting out information saying, I hope to be ready for training camp, but he has dialed back on that. The Warriors have dialed back on that as well. There's no firm timetable out here for this Achilles injury for Cousins, but I think it's safe to say we won't be seeing him at the start of the season. We probably won't be seeing him in November, and I would be pretty stunned if we see him in December. I think a January return is more likely for Cousins. Remember, the Golden State Warriors don't need to push him to come back. Now, Rudy Gay hurt his Achilles the season before in January, and he was able to return at the start of the season. He still had to take it pretty easy. Cousins is obviously a bigger body than that. I don't think we should be expecting Boog to start the season, and the Warriors will be very cautious. They want him for May and June. They don't need him for December or for November. So I do think that we expect him to miss probably over half of this season through rests and through him actually recovering and getting ready for the start of the season. Achilles injuries, we know it does cause big problems with players. Look, Rudy Gay came back. He wasn't the same guy, though. He didn't have the same athleticism. He didn't play the same amount of minutes. Even with Kawhi Leonard out for the season, we didn't see Sacramento Rudy Gay playing 34 minutes a night. He was a mid-20s guy. Sure, Kyle Anderson was playing and probably playing a superior role to Rudy Gay, but Gay couldn't get back to that level. His shooting percentages dropped as well. And I think we can expect similar stuff from Boog this season. I don't think we should be looking at Cousins getting 32 or 33 minutes when he returns. I think regular season he'll be playing 26 to 28 minutes per game. And while that's still pretty valuable, it's all dependent on where you take DeMarcus Cousins, what your league structure is, whether it's a weekly lineup, whether it's a Roto where you can sit guys on the bench, and whether you have IR spots. But, you know, when you get to fantasy playoffs in head-to-head leagues, whether that's in March or, God forbid, it's in April, Cousins might be able to put up top 40 numbers in that time. But it's all about, will you get to that spot if you take him at pick 40 in a draft? You're by getting zeros out of that spot for 3 months, maybe 4 months. I would hazard a guess and say no. I think that around the 90 to 100 spot is probably a decent spot to have a look at guys like Boog, like a guy we'll talk about later.
Percentages.
Yeah, that sort of area for guys who can be top 20, and in Cousins' case, top 10, and they will be eased in slowly to end of the season, getting them around that 90 to 80 mark. It's fine because, again, you're looking at opportunity cost. What did I miss out by taking someone who won't play for 3 months at that pick? And the difference between a waiver wire pick and a pick at pick 90 is not very big, as opposed to taking someone at pick 40 or pick 30 versus a waiver wire guy. The difference between those guys, which is what you have to take into consideration for those first 3 months in the season where Porzingis or Cousins isn't playing, the difference between who you get off the wire to replace them versus what you would miss out at pick 90 is pretty stark. So in a lot of cases, I won't have those guys on my team. It just depends on where they end up falling. I believe in the ESPN rankings that came out, shout out to Emmanuel Mudiay at pick 46, Cousins and Porzingis were both in the 90s, and I think that's fair enough to have those guys there. We know Boog was fantastic last season, the sixth ranked player. Expecting him to get back to that level this year, I don't think is realistic. Again, with the lower minutes and with the teammates around him, his usage won't be as high. I don't think his turnovers will be high, so that could be a positive there. But I also think that his assist numbers will be down with Golden State. The usage will be down. He might see an increase in efficiency, but I doubt we're going to be seeing the exact same DeMarcus Cousins this season with Golden State, even on a per-minute basis, just because of the players that are around him. I think, you know, expecting like a 17 and 10 in under 30 minutes, maybe he can get to that level, but that might be upper echelon, still get your blocks, and still be a relatively valuable player on a per-game basis. Let's talk about a guy who we saw for 5 minutes last season, and that is Gordon Hayward of the Boston Celtics. Of course, broke his leg, had their ankle issue, a fractured ankle, broken leg, ligament problems at the start of the season in those first 5 minutes. What can we expect from Hayward? Now, there's a couple of things we need to pay attention to. He's aiming to be ready for training camp, and he should be right to start the season. I don't have any doubts that he's going to play. I also don't have too much problem in thinking that Hayward's going to be on minutes limits or is going to be restricted in back-to-backs. I don't think that's going to be the case for him. Maybe in the first week of the season, you might see him playing slightly fewer minutes, but I don't think that will be the problem for him. It's going to be, can he return to the same level he was at in Utah? That's a concern. And how is he going to fit in with his teammates, Kyrie Irving, Al Horford, Jason Tatum, Jaylen Brown? They're going to be the other four members of that starting five. A lot of people are discounting just how good Gordon Hayward is. Like, he is a very, very strong player. But will he be a guy that can be a 20-point-per-game scorer as he was in that season in Utah? I think that's a little bit doubtful, sharing the ball with Irving and Tatum there as well. I think it's also going to have an impact on Jason Tatum with Gordon Hayward returning. But Hayward won't be that player who can get back to being a top 30 guy. But I do think that he can be a solid top 50 type of player. Whether you want to take that risk that he looks the same as he was before is up to you. I would probably be steering away from it, especially if someone's grabbing him at 40. But if he's available at 55 or 56, then I would look at that. Because there is a bit of upside in taking Hayward at 56. He could become that top 40 guy. But remember, you know, how the usage spreads between Irving and Tatum and Brown and Horford is a really big decision for you to make internally when you're viewing these draft picks. And we don't exactly know how it's going to work out. We don't know what level of Gordon Hayward we're going to see back. I believe that if healthy, he's probably the best player on this Celtics team. A lot of people do disagree with me with that. I put that poll out the other day and it was overwhelmingly in favor of Kyrie Irving. And I can understand that argument. I just really like what Hayward's able to do in pretty much every every facet of the game. He can provide that value. You know, whether he can still do that or not remains to be seen. But his ability to hit threes, to score, to rebound, to get assists, he gets steals and does it efficiently. That's all really valuable. But we do have to have some level of concern. It wasn't exactly the same as the Paul George leg break because there was some ligament damage involved on his ankle. So that is something that we do need to pay some attention to. But I think he'll be back and able to put up some pretty decent numbers this season. And I think people will be, they'll at least begin to remember exactly how good Gordo was in that time in Utah. Referenced him already. Kristaps Porzingis tore his ACL last season. Much like DeMarcus Cousins, I think seeing him return before January is wishful thinking. I think late January Early February is a realistic expectation for Kristaps. I don't think that he is going to be playing the same level of minutes that he was last season. Will he be able to get back to that 30% usage? I think that's a possibility. It's not like the Knicks brought in massive high usage guys. Of course, the Fort, Kevin Knox is there, Mario Hezonja. They're their two big acquisitions. But will they be coming in and taking all shots from Kristaps? Unlikely. His efficiency will probably suffer. I think his block numbers will suffer for this coming season. But when we're looking at Kristaps from a long-term perspective for dynasty value, I still feel pretty good about him. And I think as we go into the 19-20 season, he'll be able to be a 21-22-point player, 7-8 rebounds, 2.5 blocks, 2 threes, that sort of player. Again, similar to what he did last year before his injury struck him down, unfortunately. But everything I said for DeMarcus Cousins, you can pretty much echo for Kristaps Porzingis, just with that risk element of where you take him in the draft. His overall per game upside isn't as high as Cousins. We know that. Cousins is a top 10 guy. Porzingis is a top 20 guy. I think they both can fit into that top 40, top 50 type of range for this coming season. And we'll probably play on the overall aggregate for their average minutes of under 30. Now, that might mean that he starts off playing 23, 24 a night for February and half of March, and then for March and April, he ramps it back to 31, 32. And that's something to focus in on in fantasy playoffs, that the minutes will start lower and they will push up at the more opportune time for you in the season. But it's all about opportunity cost, risk evaluation. He's going to come back. There's no doubt he'll be back this season, but it's not going to be in the 2018 portion of the year, in my opinion. Another guy that is important to look at, Jabari Parker. Yeah, he did come back last season, but now he heads across to the Chicago Bulls. We have to worry about Jabari because he has suffered that ACL injury twice on that knee. He did have a lot of defensive concerns before the ACL injury. He was pretty piss poor most of last season. But I think the good thing we can say from Jabari is when he came back, he still looked athletic. He still had the pop. And the efficiency didn't actually suffer from Parker. Shot the ball well from the field, shot the ball well from three. And he is going to be playing a pretty decent role here for the Chicago Bulls this coming season as their starting small forward. But there is obviously that level of risk with Parker. There's also the level of, he doesn't give you blocks. He doesn't really give you steals. He's not hitting bunches of threes. And sharing the ball with Lauri Markkanen and with Zach LaVine, he's probably not going to be a 20-point per game scorer. He could be. He was that at one point in Milwaukee. I'm just not sure he gets there with Chicago. And while we are confident in what he is at the moment, like he's healthy, he played, he'll be getting a steady diet of 30-plus minutes per game for this Bulls team. The risk you have with Jabari is how likely is he to suffer a third injury to that same knee, or how likely is he to suffer a compensatory injury, which happens quite often with players who have had multiple ACL issues. They can have hamstring issues. They take replacement tendons out of hamstrings or quads and different areas of the body to fill in for that knee, to replace the busted ACL. So that can lead to hamstring instability. There can also be compensatory stuff. I'm worried about my knee, therefore the other side goes. My gait is slightly off. The ankle goes. So that is always the worry we have with Jabari. And I really despise the term injury prone because a lot of the time it's bandied about for things that aren't related at all. But in Jabari's case, because he has had these two ACL injuries, it does make him more likely to suffer another injury, whether that's an ACL or not, whether it's a back, whether it's a hamstring, whether it's a quad, whether it's an ankle, whether it's anything else, he is more likely to suffer those injuries just because of his history. The mental scars that exist plus the physical limitations do put that risk on Jabari. Now, does he have top 50 upside? Yeah, but that's probably the limit of where he goes. He's not ever a top 20, top 30 guy. And I think top 50 is going to be pushing it. But again, if you're taking him in those later rounds, get that scoring boost, do it relatively efficiently, which I still think he can do. There is value in Jabari Parker, but there is that risk. And if you're relying upon him to be a long-term or guy that's going to get you through the whole season, I think you should be holding your breath expecting a full season of play. I'm not saying he's suffering a serious injury. He could, but I don't think that's necessarily a big likelihood. But there's other little things that will likely come from Jabari from having suffered these injuries in the past that can cause those problems that, of course, we don't want to see. Now, there's a bunch of players who last season either suffered injuries that ended their season, or cause them to miss significant time during the year. So we're going to go through those ones now and have a talk about how likely it is to happen. Of course, one of the best fantasy player that suffered these injuries was Steph Curry, who had multiple ankle injuries, then had a knee problem, which extended into the playoffs. We remember back in the day that Curry had significant ankle problems and it was a real issue. It caused him to be on that below market value contract that enabled the Warriors to end up signing Kevin Durant, of course. But he'd been he'd been healthy for about 3, 4, 5 years in a row. It all did come back to bite us in the ass last season. I'm not overly concerned about the ankle or the knee issue for Curry. He has suffered these injuries, knee injuries, 2 years in a row now, which is, two out of the last 3 years for that MCL. So that is something of a concern. I think we do, as he is, you know, advancing in age, we do have to have, you know, some level of worry with Curry and these lower limb issues. But it's not something where I look at, oh man, the ankles, he's definitely going to get injured this season. It's not one of those scenarios for Steph. Prior to this last season where he played just 51 games, he had 78, 80, 79, and 79 games. And that's with a knee injury, that, of course, in the playoffs that he suffered. So I'm not overly worried about Steph, but you're probably more worried with him than I am with some other players who do have some injury concerns. I wouldn't expect 51 games out of him, but I think that the risk with him is a little bit higher than some other guys. Jim Butler suffered a knee injury last season as well. We thought it was pretty serious. He was able to come back. He has also had some off-season hand surgery. He is fine after that. But this is a guy who is injury prone, who does get consistent injuries and has had a few different knee problems, which is a worry for Jim Butler. Over the past 5 seasons, he's exceeded 70 games once, and that was his last season in Chicago where he played 76. The other years, 67, 65, 67, and 59, and almost invariably in those years, the injuries have occurred in the February-March portion of the season. Very similar to the history that Kyle Lowry has shown us, where he plays and plays and plays so many minutes, and he gets to February and he breaks down. And that has happened to Butler so many times, and that is obviously a huge level of concern. The production's fine. He was 14th overall in per-game value last season, but in total value, 34th, because he played just 59 games. And we know with health-conscious coach like Tom Thibodeau that it's clearly not going to be a worry, because Thibodeau is going to manage his minutes. He's going to caress him through the season. Of course, I'm taking the absolute piss, because Thibodeau is going to drive him into the ground as much as possible. Screw it. As long as we get that meaningless victory in January, all will be forgiven. It's bullshit. And Thibodeau is going to cause a problem with Jimmy Butler. I've said it consistently. It's happened pretty much every year of his career. Yes, some of it not under Thibodeau, but I don't care. It's still an issue, and we do have to be concerned about it. And at this point with Jimmy Butler, you have to expect an injury that's going to cost multiple weeks. That's just the way it is. Lower legs, it's happened to wrists. He just gets ground down by the minutes and the way he plays, and the likelihood of him missing multiple weeks, I think, is higher than him not missing multiple weeks. And his games played history would suggest that again. I don't like saying that players are injury prone. It's got nothing to do with them as being soft or weak or any of that bullshit that people spout out. Shout out to Twitter. It's more about the way they play, the way the coach utilizes him, and just the wear and tear on that injury. As a guy who is going to be turning 29 pretty soon, there is some concerns with Butler and that injury. He's fully healthy now. But come February or March, I think we'll be singing a pretty similar tune to what we have in the past with Jim Butler. Chris Paul missed a ton of games last season with hamstring problems. Obviously, that was a big problem in the playoffs and potentially allowed the Golden State Warriors to get past the Rockets in 7 games and go on to win the NBA championship. I think expecting 70 games out of Chris Paul is probably foolish. He hasn't done that in the last 2 years. 58 last season, 61 the year before for the Clippers. I think his productivity is going to be at a similar level. Yeah, he is obviously older now. 33 years of age, but getting 70 games out of Chris Paul is fairly unlikely for this coming season, just given the constant issues with the hamstring. Now, I don't really worry about some of those hand problems he's had in the past, which are fluky type injuries. It's more the elderly man in NBA terms are having consistent soft tissue injuries in their legs, they are things that tend not to go away. And I think you should be concerned about Chris Paul. And I don't think you should be looking at 70 games played for him this season. I think that would be a realistic expectation. Kyrie Irving, another guy who had his season ended last season by a knee problem. We know that Kyrie has had many knee injuries during his career. Nothing serious, defined incident like an ACL, but a fractured patella that he had in the NBA Finals, and just consistent games missed. But 60 last season, but the year before, 72. 53 the year before that, then 75 and 71. So he's had a decent record of staying healthy. This knee surgery he had was complicated by an infection that developed there, but that's all good to go. And I don't think that's something you could look at and say, well, that's going to be a problem as he moves forward. And, you know, having a reliance on an infection to cause games to be missed is not a strategy you should be considering. But expecting 78 games out of Kyrie is probably not something you should be doing, but I think he can get back to that 70 game mark. He's going to play his 33 minutes per night, and hopefully this knee is healthy. I have a level of confidence that Kyrie will be fine this year. I'm trying to work out how I best say this. I think that Kyrie will play, I don't know why I had trouble saying this because it's an easy sentence. I think Kyrie will play more games than Jimmy Butler for this upcoming season. I think he gets to over 70. I think he plays more than Chris Paul as well. And, you know, puts up pretty good numbers. Now, he's going to have to deal with a similar issue that Gordon Hayward did, or will have to this season, is how do they fit together? How does the ball get distributed? Of course, with the ascendance of Jason Tatum as well. That's something to consider. But I think that Kyrie should be a solid second-round guy. But with the concerns over his injury that people will have, he will slide towards the back of the second round, maybe even into the 20s, 23, 24. Maybe he's outside the top 25. That's a possibility as well. And there is going to be some value there in Kyrie Irving at that sort of situation. Johnny Wall missed a ton of games last season. He had been relatively healthy in terms of games played prior to last season, but had still dealt with consistent knee problems. And again, a guy that has recurrent issues with his knee is a concern. He only played 41 games last season. He hadn't played fewer than 77 over the previous four seasons, but still had dealt with some knee problems there. Wall missed some big chunks of games last year. Towards the end of the season through that March period and then in December as well. I am cautiously optimistic with Johnny. I think he will be okay, but again, he's about to turn 28 and had some consistent knee problems over the course of his career that I think we should have a level of concern, but you know, I will be pretty confident that he is better than the 31st player in fantasy that he was last year. His previous four seasons rankings, 12, 12, 11, and 13. And I'm not saying he necessarily gets back to that level, but I get the feeling that Wall may slip to the third round, and I'd be all over grabbing him in that area. I think that he can get his assists back up, he gets his minutes back up, he can get the scoring back up, and the efficiency can rise. And he was one of those guys who I don't think I mentioned in the percentage discrepancy show yesterday, but his free throw percentage dropped by about 8 percentage points, and I think a lot of that was injury-related, and I think that some of that can return next season. Of course, one of the biggest names in terms of injury was Kawhi Leonard, who only played 9 games last season with that quad tendon issue. Some of that surely has to be the San Antonio factor. The fact that he was pissed and he just didn't want to put anything on the line for a team that he felt was giving him the old dick there. He didn't... He wasn't confident with it. Look, he was still fine. He played 23 minutes per game and was the 32nd ranked player in fantasy. And on a per 36 minute basis, he was 6th. So the per minute production was still there for Kawhi. He has passed his physical to get the trade official to Toronto, but that doesn't necessarily mean that he is going to be in all NBA level form straight away. I think that Kawhi is going to end up being a considerable steal, but we also have to factor in that this is a degenerative condition in his quad tendon from everything we know about it, and there could be concerns during this season. So while he does have top 5 upside, again, going from a team like the Spurs who play him at 33 minutes to a team like the Raptors who had a history of playing 35, 36 minutes to DeMar DeRozan and Kyle Lowry, give Kawhi Leonard an extra 3 minutes per night and he's a top 5 player. He was a top 7 guy in 33 minutes per night for 2 consecutive seasons. Give him those extra 2 to 3 minutes and he's a top 5 player. You don't have to draft him there. He's going to fall outside the first round in a lot of cases. And I would be happy in most situations if I'm picking at the turn with taking Kawhi there. Now, of course, we want to hear if more news comes out about the current state of his injury. And there is some long-term concern here, especially when you're looking at him from a dynasty perspective, as how long this injury actually plays, you know, causes problems and doesn't continually get worse. But I think we're going to have a bit of a bounce-back season from Kawhi Leonard. Rudy Gobert suffered injury last season that cost him a bit of time. He's had some issues with injury in the past. 56 games this season. He only played 61 in the 15-16 season. Yeah, that's a level of concern with him with that knee. But it was a fluky type injury, so I'm not overly worried. It's not a degenerative wear and tear type of thing. It was an impact injury that caused the knee. It was Dion Waiters falling across his knee. I believe was that this one? Was that the one before? Now I'm getting my knee injuries for Gobert mixed up. Regardless, it's not a degenerative type issue for Gobert, and I feel pretty confident about him bouncing back and shouldn't be too worried about his issue. Nick Vucevic missed a ton of games for the Orlando Magic last season. He's probably not in a great spot anyway, just with the drafting and free agency decisions the Magic made. But the reason his games played last season were so low was a broken hand that he suffered. He has had injury problems in the past, Achilles issues. Back issues. I'm not worried about Vooch from a broken hand perspective. I'm more worried about what they do with John Isaac and Mo Bamba in that front court, and whether they give Ken Birch minutes or what they do with Vooch. He was under 30 minutes last season, 30 minutes the season before. He was still the 35th ranked player last season, but I think expecting his minutes to go up from there is not good practice, given how this team has drafted and what they view on Vooch here. But I don't think we should be worried about the injury or the minutes that he played last season being a concern for him as we move forward. Another player that suffered an injury last season, a broken hand, was Kevin Love. He had concussion issues as well. Love is a guy who's had consistent back problems, knee problems, and then had that broken hand. And he comes into a great opportunity here. He's not going to be Minnesota Kevin Love. I think we need to get that idea out of our heads. He's 4 years older from there. The game has changed a bit. But his usage will go up. His assists will go up. His scoring will go up. His minutes should go up. So all those things will bounce him back up to probably being a second round player. But he is a legitimate risk again as he gets older with consistent knee and back problems. These are things that don't tend to go away. These aren't fluky type injuries. The broken hand was. I wouldn't be worried about that too much. It's more the other injuries that could very well crop up again for Kevin Love. And he is another one of these players in these early rounds that we're going to have to pay some attention to because these injuries could very easily flare up again. Blake Griffin's in a similar case. He missed games last season for the Clippers and for the Pistons with a knee and an ankle injury. He's had consistent knee injury problems as well. He's had some fluky ass injuries, staph infection in his elbow, broken hand from punching a trainer. All that shit's fluky. It doesn't really matter. It's the knee problems that's a worry for Griffin. Last season's one wasn't really a degenerative issue. It was more fluky, so I'm not overly concerned there. The ankle was more tank-induced at the end of the season. There was something there, but that's not too much of a problem. But it's just always something with this bloke. 57 games last season, but I think people would be surprised to know... No, not 57 games. Sorry, let me bring up looking at the wrong player there. He didn't play many games. I think it was around 57. Let's bring up that list. 58, there you go. 61 the year before, 35 the year before that, 67 the year before that. Now, prior to that, he played 80 games, but this is 3 years in a row where he hasn't been able to crack 70 games for multiple different issues. The knee is the biggest concern here with Griffin. I still think he's a solid pick in that fourth round type of zone because you're banking in the fact that he's not going to play these games. There's all this talk out of Detroit from Dwayne Casey. We want him to be the best playmaking big in the league. We want him to be an MVP type player. And that's all fine. He just has to stay on the court for that to happen. And we do have to have concern with the consistent knee issues. There's some level of fluke with Griffin's injury, but there's some level where you go, yeah, maybe it's not just fluke that this is causing the problem for Blakey. Hassan Whiteside suffered some knee problems, and that was a weird one. Last season, he missed quite a few games due to these knee injuries. He also missed games or saw his playing time diminish. because he wasn't playing well. He obviously has some friction with the coaching staff and the front office and managed only 25 minutes per game, down from 33 the year before that. Kelly Olynyk, Bam Adebayo, you could make arguments pretty comfortably that they are better options than Whiteside. So I think we have the minutes issue here for him being a problem. We have the knee problem, which again was not really a an impact type thing. It was a wear and tear issue, which is a worry for Hassan. So I think we should have a definite level of concern, a multifaceted level of concern for Hassan Whiteside and his injuries for this coming season. Chrissy Dunn missed the start of the season and then missed the end of the season with different injuries. At the end of the year, he was dealing with a turf toe-like situation, which can be a real prick. I think some of that was tank-related as well. He was just barely outside the top 50 last season in only 29 minutes, and he should be able to push to be a top 50 guy this season, play a couple of extra minutes. But this is a guy who has dealt with injury through his college career, missed at least a season and a half with shoulder problems, and then coming into the NBA, you know, a 78 in his first year in Minnesota, but only 52 games last season. He is level for concern with those multiple injuries that he did suffer as he was, you know, slow-ish to start the season, missed all of preseason, and then missed big chunks of time during the year. I'm not looking at him as an injury risk type player. The toe will be fine. He'll be ready to start the season, but again, he just has had a lot of different injury problems in his career, and it is a level of concern, but it's not something that's going to take me away too much from drafting him. Lonzo Ball, multiple knee injuries last season, MCL issue, and then suffered a meniscus injury, which he has had surgery for. He will be ready to start the season, ready for training camp, which is good news, but consistent knee problems for a young player is a worry. The fact that Luke Walton played him so many minutes was absolutely piss poor coaching. He came back from the MCL injury and played 39 minutes per game. He played a stretch there before he hurt his knee again. 41, 39, 38, 37, 44, 42, and 43 minutes, and then 24 and got injured. Like, that's bullshit. That is mismanagement. That is negligence. That is piss poor coaching from Luke Walton. And you can tell me that the Lakers, oh, they had injuries. So many guys was out. He had to play as minutes. He didn't. You're not playing for anything. Play Alex Caruso. Play Tyler Ennis. Yeah, play these other guys. Play whoever. Play Josh Hart at point guard. Hart was probably out at that point as well. But you didn't need to play 44 minutes for your number two overall pick coming back from a knee injury in back-to-back games a lot of this time. Yeah, there was a back-to-back. He played 41 and 39, and then all those other games with 38 and 40. It was nonsense. Now, how much of that contributed to the knee, we don't know. I can't say that it helped his knee situation or it prevented him from getting injured, because it clearly didn't, because he got injured. He also has the Rajon Rondo and LeBron James factor to deal with this season.
LeBron James.
I have a level of concern here with this knee problem for Lonzo. I'm not writing him off as injury prone by any stretch of the imagination. I think he's a long way from that, but it is something we should be cautious of. He was the 56th ranked player last season, despite the absolutely horrendous percentages. He has top 20 upside. I've got no doubt about that. Whether he gets that alongside LeBron is a real query. I think he's more of a top 35 guy for this season, just because James is there, although I think he fits really well with LeBron. Now, whether Walton dicks around and plays Rondo over him, which would be a disaster, remains to be seen. I'm still really high on Lonzo's fantasy upside, at least, but there is a level of concern we should have here. Nikola Mirotic, not much to really talk about with him. You know, SpongeBob shit bloke, punched him in the face, broke it open. He came back, he was fine. So when you look at his games played and you saw they were low, there was that was the issue. I'm sure no one was really forgetting that was the problem. But that's nothing to worry about with him. Aaron Gordon missed a ton of games last season. He had hip issues, he had calf issues. I think, again, some of that may have been tank-related towards the end, keeping him out, which is fine. You're really trying to make sure the guy is healthy, but he did miss, you know, quite a few games in multiple chunks. He did come back and finish out the season and played pretty big minutes, so I don't think we need to be too worried about Aaron Gordon. And the previous two seasons, he'd missed a combined 6 games. So while the 58 games were a pain in the ass for this season, he had his minutes ramped up to 33, and I don't think we need to be worried about that moving forward. Patrick Beverley had microfracture surgery on his knee. He's older than you think. Well, maybe you don't. Maybe you know how old he is. Maybe he's not older than you personally think, but he has turned 30. He played just 11 games last season at 30 minutes. And there is a risk here that this 30 minutes that he played gets cut into. We know how well Shai Gilgeous-Alexander played. Well, Doc Rivers isn't a fan of rookies. We're aware of that. But maybe Shai is just that good. He's better than CJ Wilcox. He's better than Reggie Bullock. He's better than Bryce Johnson, the rookies that Doc refused to play. He's, you know, a lot better than those. So maybe there's a chance with Lou Williams, with Avery Bradley, with Milos Teodosic there as well, that that Beverley doesn't play those 30 minutes per night and he's more of a 27-minute per night guy. In the games that he played last season, he was the 68th ranked player, you know, high steal rate, solid rebounder, hits threes. I think that his upside is going to be fairly limited. I am worried about the knee problem. He's had some knee issues in the past. His last four seasons, 67, 71, 56, and 56. I do think at the age of 30 with persistent knee problems for Beverley, plus the addition of other guys there, he won't be getting those 30 minutes a night. And I think we should be considered worried about how that knee injury is going to impact him. Evan Fournier suffered an MCL injury at the end of last season. He wasn't able to return. I don't think there's any issue there with Fournier. There was no reason for him to come back, and he will be fine to start this season. Miles Turner suffered quite a few different little nagging injuries. I think the concussion had a real issue on him to begin the season. I've said this plenty of times. Started out brilliantly, got concussed, and then never really returned to the same level of play. Missed a chunk of time in January and a chunk of time in October as well. I don't think we need to be too worried about the games played for Miles. It was more actually his level of play that's the concern. Paulie Millsap, the wrist ligament issue that cost him the majority of the season. He is an older player. He's not a guy who's necessarily been able to stay completely healthy through his career, but we're not expecting that wrist problem to linger. He came back. He was fine at the end of the season. He played, you know, big enough minutes, 33 minutes a night, after he returned, but he only played 69 games
giggity
the year before in Atlanta. So some injuries starting to creep up on Millsap, who is 33 and will turn 34 at some point during the season. That's a level of concern with Paul there, but I don't think we need to be worried about this wrist injury carrying over to this season. Clearly he was back. TJ Warren, another victim of the tank, had a knee problem at the end of last season, and that cost him the end of his season. You'd be more worried about the addition of Trevor Ariza and McCall Bridges and the ascendance of Josh Jackson rather than the TJ Warren knee injury. I don't think he's got really any chance of being able to replicate what he did last season, and it's got nothing to do with the knee problem that cost him so many games to end last season. I think the last 12 games of the season he missed. He's dealt with back issues in the past, which have limited his games played. And his games played don't look that great. 40, 47, 66, and then just 65 last season. But again, I think the addition of those other players and the development of them is more of a problem than dealing with TJ Warren's knee issue. Nick Batum missed a lot of time last season with an elbow injury. That has got nothing to do with any carryover for this season. He's going to move back to his better position at small forward, it appears. That should up his rebound rate, his block rate, and his efficiency, which is all great for his fantasy value. Only 64 games last season. People look at Patel, man, he's always injured. Yeah, but the last four seasons, 77, 70, 71, 82. I'd be pretty happy with those for a guy who's always injured. To be playing, you know, lowest in those 4 years was 70 games. He missed... To start last season, he missed the first month of the year with that elbow issue, so he would have been another 70-plus season last season. I feel pretty good about Batum, and I'm not worried about this elbow at all. I feel pretty good about him playing. Timmy Hardaway Jr. had a stress reaction in his leg, was playing, you know, played shit to start the season, then started really coming on, then broke the leg, and the Knicks didn't need to rush him back at any point. We've seen guys like Bradley Beal and Jrue Holiday deal with these issues. They appear to be fine now. I'm not really worried about Timmy Hardaway, but that's why his games were low last season. The Undertaker, Dwayne Dedman, the same. He suffered a leg fracture. I think you'd be maybe a bit more concerned about Dedman's minutes this season just because of the Baptist John Collins maybe getting some of that playing time and the signing of Alex Len. I don't think you need to be worried about that fractured leg that he suffered. The Rooster. Danilo Gallinari, just an absolute disaster of a season for Gallinari. This is not an injury he's ever had before, but weirdly he suffered two separate glute muscle tears. I believe they were on both of his ass cheeks. Just really, really weird stuff. Just 21 games for him. And at this point, again, I don't like to label players as injury prone, but he always gets injured. It's as simple as that. These aren't the same injuries. Knee problems, wrist. He started the season with a broken hand because he punched someone in the face at Eurobasket and then played 21 games because he tore his ass muscle multiple times. He will be better than this. His efficiency was way off last season, only 39% from the field. His usage was way down, mainly because he was deferring so much to Blake Griffin. He seemed out of sorts on his new team. I think that Gallinari could be in the Tyreke Evans spot for next season, a guy that people will let slide and might be available at pick 130 or pick 140 because they don't want to deal with the injury risk. And I understand that. But when you're getting someone outside the top 100, if he gets injured, you drop him. If he doesn't, you have got top 50 upside with Danilo Gallinari. He was the 53rd and 57th ranked player in his last two seasons in Denver. He doesn't have to deal with Blake Griffin. Yes, Toby Harris is still there, but he should be able to up his usage, up his efficiency, up his free throw attempts if he is fully healthy. And there's a huge if there, and there's probably a 60% chance that it doesn't work out and that he does get injured again. But the torn ass, I don't think will be too much of a problem. There's some other bullshit will likely crop up, but where you're likely going to be able to get the Rooster in drafts, I will be all about it. I'm happy to take swings on those guys. I took swings on Tyreke. I took swings on Chandler Parsons last season. One of them worked out pretty bloody well. One of them didn't. And that doesn't matter. You see it doesn't work out and you go, you know, it's not working out. See you later. Let's get someone else. And that's where you got to take advantage of those picks later. There's no point taking a guy like Jermichael Green with pick 140 and his ceiling's the 130th ranked player. You're better off taking the Rooster, who might play 20 games, but could play 70 and be the 20th or be the 40th best player, and then you've won your league. So that's the sort of thing you should be paying attention to, with especially considering the narrative on the Rooster is that he's, you know, made of glass, so that people will definitely steer clear of him. Malcolm Brogdon suffered a quad injury. That's why his minutes were low. It looked like it was more serious than that. It looked like it was going to be a significant knee injury. He was able to return. I know that when he returned, he was starting at shooting guard alongside Eric Bledsoe because Tony Snell's shit. Let's see if they go with that mix again with him alongside Chrissy Middleton, Yanni, Brooke Lopez, and Eric Bledsoe. Snell and Sterling Brown are around as well, but I'm not too worried there. Brogdon will get backup point guard minutes. He's got low upside, but he's high efficiency, decent assist, not as good as what it was in his rookie season. Okay scoring, hit some threes. I think he'll be a solid later round pick, but again, not a high upside guy. So depending on how everything turns out with this team, he might not be worth a look in 10-team leagues just because you want to go high upside with some of those picks. And I think his path to high upside production is probably not there for this team. He really took off when Chris Middleton was out in his rookie season and he was, you know, being the de facto point guard. But I think he's going to have a fairly sizable, fairly consistent, and fairly stable role under a coach who isn't the worst coach in the NBA. D'Angelo Russell, pretty much a lost season for D'Angelo. I spoke about him at length on the Fourth Year Player podcast the other day. The knee injuries are a worry. He's had a couple of them throughout his NBA career, and it cost him pretty much all of last season, only 48 games. He played in only 26 minutes, but I think he's going to start the season. I think he's going to be high 20s in minutes, probably around, maybe gets to that 30 level. Although, yeah, there is an element with Kenny Atkinson of, you know, that he is going to play guys in so few minutes. I'm not 100% certain that that's going to be the case this season. It could happen. We saw down the stretch Damari Carroll, Rondo Hollis-Jefferson. Now, these guys start to play bigger minutes, even Russell and Dinwiddie at times. There is still that concern, but I think that D'Angelo can bounce back. But I do have some long-term concern with that knee injury that did cost him so many games last season and games the year before with the Lakers. Jeremy Lin, like Gordon Hayward, only played the one game last season and suffered a torn patella tendon. This is a shit injury to come back from. It's like the Achilles injuries of knees. He moves to a worse situation as well in Atlanta, where he will be definitely the backup to Trae Young. He's not going to be starting, I don't believe. Lin, in Brooklyn, his first season, played 25 minutes a game due to recurring hamstring problems and was excellent for fantasy. I'm not sure that coming off multiple hamstring injuries, now coming off a patella tendon injury, that he's necessarily going to be that same level, but he has been good, a really good fantasy guy whenever he's got that opportunity. Just the, with the way the Hawks are going, I think we're going to have Trae Young, we're going to have youth playing at shooting guard as well. Lynn probably gets mid-20s in minutes and puts up, you know, some okay-ish type numbers, but that upper ceiling that he probably had last season, you know, getting 31 to 32 a night as a potential in Brooklyn last season, I don't think that's going to be there, but I think he can be solid enough to be, you know, maybe even he does sniff the top 100 for this coming season, more likely top 150, but we do have to be worried about the return from a patella tendon injury. Brandon Ingram, not only does he have to deal with LeBron James coming in and playing at his position, but he suffered significant injuries last season, a concussion to end the year, a groin issue. Some of it, again, we do have to worry how much was Luke Walton's nonsense rotations or lack thereof of rotations, you know, playing into this effect that cost him so much playing time. He did take some significant steps forward this season. He was only the 112th ranked fantasy player, despite the steps forward that Ingram took. I don't think we need to be worried about the injuries being a long-term concern, though. Mike Conley was obviously a terrible season for him. Not only did he miss nearly all of it with an Achilles slash heel injury, but when he played, he was just way off. His assists were way down. His efficiency was nowhere near where it needed to be. He's aiming to be back for training camp. So this is, yeah, we're talking about a long-term issue. But the year before his injury, he was the 22nd ranked player. The problem is he hasn't hit 70 games in the last 3 years. 12, 69, and 56, and the 2 years before that, 70 and 73, and this is the second reoccurrence of an Achilles injury. He hasn't torn the Achilles, but he has had some strains with it, so he hasn't fully torn it. A strain, of course, is a tear, so he's had some minor tears, had some heel calcification issues as well, so it's an ongoing problem, so I think we should be looking at Conley as a risk, but like Gallinari, we're talking about a player on this Memphis team who can be a top 30 guy. If he is back and playing 33 minutes a night, he is a top 50 guy without doubt, and he's going to slide. I think you'll find him in the 70s or 80s, and I'd be okay taking a risk on someone like that at that spot. If it pays off, it pays off. If it doesn't, you're in trouble, but obviously they're taking the cautious approach here to deal with this Achilles by, you know, sitting him out last season. There's no other player there who is going to come in and demand point guard minutes from him. Maybe it's a slower start for Conley, but I'm about grabbing him. I'm pretty interested in getting him this season at the right price. Marcus Smart, he missed games with a broken hand from punching a picture frame, so I don't think we need to be too worried about that injury. Next, we talk about Zach LaVine. He's obviously back from the ACL, but how much will he return this season? I think we should be pretty confident with LaVine. The low games were obviously as he's returned from ACL. You're all aware of that, I'm sure. Efficiency, due to high usage, is going to be a problem. Can he bring in other areas of a game? That's not really going to be too much to do with the injury. I think we should be considering him fully healed at this point. Reggie Jackson, just a guy who consistently gets injured with Detroit. Now, there is a positive for Reggie this coming season. He's not being coached by Stan Van Gundy, who for some reason, I don't know what bloody reason Van Gundy had with only playing point guards under 30 minutes every night. I never understood why that's what Stan would do. I never understood that, the thought process. But now he moves to Dwayne Casey, who would play 35 minutes for Kyle Lowry in meaningless games. Now, I'm not saying that Reggie's going to get those minutes, but when your backups are Jose Calderon and Ish Smith, I feel pretty good that he's going to be playing more minutes this season than what we've seen in the past. Only 27 minutes per game each of the last two seasons. Now, he played under 55 games in both those seasons. But the good thing is, and I say good very loosely, it wasn't a knee problem last year. It was a horrendous grade 3 ankle sprain where his ankle basically went horizontal. And that's what cost him all of those games. Prior to that, I thought he was playing pretty well and putting up some pretty decent fantasy type numbers despite the limited minutes, you know, the 27 minutes per game. I think that he has a chance to maybe crack back into the top 100. He'd be a decent flyer just because of the change of coach and the fact that the knee hasn't been an issue now for two seasons. That's a positive. Well, not two seasons. Since he came back, he returned to action in the 2016-17 season and on the 4th of December. And since then, you know, he hasn't had a real knee issue, which is great news. So we're heading into 2 years since there's been a real knee problem. Now, the ankle's an issue there, but I'm not really worried about that as a recurring type problem. So don't look at Reggie Jackson's games and go, oh, 45, man, he's always injured that bloody knee. It wasn't the knee. It was a fluke ankle injury, and I think that we see those minutes jump up pretty considerably. Danny Green, we heard that report come out that he was playing with an undiagnosed torn groin last season. That's obviously not ideal. He didn't look the same. He is older. He's had some consistent injury issues. I think he can have somewhat of a bounce back in Toronto, playing more minutes than he would under Popovich, gets those triple one stats. Can the shot fall down? Can he get his groin fixed? I think there's a reason to be marginally optimistic for Dan. He probably won't ever go back to being that top 50 guy he was a few seasons ago, but I think he can have, you know, maybe back end standard league value in a different environment here in Toronto. Thabo Sefolosha suffered a knee injury last season. He's not a fantasy issue. He is a fantasy option. He is an older player, but I'm not too worried about this knee injury moving forward. While Rudy Gay lower games last season due to the Achilles injury, we do have to be worried about compensatory injuries, and we saw that happen a little bit for Gay last season, but he's going to be in line for a larger role this year. Does he get back to the 30-plus minutes he played for Sacramento? I think he probably is going to have to, given the way this team is structured. He only played 22 minutes per game last season and had a true shooting drop of 2 percentage points and a free throw percentage drop of 8 percentage points. But at least efficiently from the field, he still shot okay. The threes were a disaster, though, down from 37 to 31%. And some of that is lift due to that injury. I still have my concerns that people never recover fully from an Achilles, and Gay is clearly in that boat. And that's where I have an element of concern. So his previous four seasons before the Achilles injury, he was ranked 29th, 43rd, 20th, and 31st, all playing 34, 34, 35, and 35 minutes. I don't think that even if he goes and plays 34 minutes, which I'd be a little bit surprised with, that he will get back to that level, but I think he will be a top 100, probably top 80 type of a guy. Just that dip in efficiency and the lower defensive type numbers could come, could be an impact due to the injury issues. But you know, his per 36 numbers weren't too far off some of those other numbers. It was just the efficiency, which may not ever come back. But he did well to return. Jermichael Green suffered a knee injury to start last season. Jaren Jackson Jr. is in town now, and he's considerably better than Jermichael. Jermichael is a very, very low upside guy anyway. I don't think we need to worry about him really in too much of a circumstance. I'm not worried about the knee injury. I'm more worried about the fact that he's just not that good of a player. Isaiah Thomas, clear to say it was a disaster for him last season with that hip injury. I said it plenty of times during the offseason, he should have had the surgery and it wouldn't get fixed without the surgery. It didn't get fixed, but he has had the surgery now. Now, of course, his situation in Denver is weird. He's the backup behind the Blue Arrow and Gaz Harris.
Nice, Gary!
But he's got an opportunity, very similar to, say, his days in Phoenix or Sacramento, to play 25 a night and be a top 100 guy on high usage. Hopefully decent efficiency, get some assist in that backup role. So he could be worth, he's definitely worth a look in that last pick situation, because if Malone gets frustrated with Jamal Murray, which would be the wrong thing to do given Malone's history, that's definitely the option he's going to take. Thomas could work his way into a bigger role. I worry that this hip issue is a degenerative issue, because it is. It's not something that you ever recover from. I know I suffered the same injury. Yeah, and while I had the surgery on my hip, I'm not an elite athlete by any stretch, but that means I also don't have to work at 110% of my actual athletic capabilities like these guys do. It still hurts. It still aches. It still impacts my gait. It still restricts what I do. Nowhere near what it was before, where I couldn't even run on it. But it's still, I still know and go, there's the hip. Yep, it's sore. Right. I had that surgery. That's why I worry about Thomas. His efficiency from that MVP-nominated season was off the charts. True shooting of 63 on a usage of 34. That combination is basically unheard of, especially for a guard. It dropped down to 51 true shooting last season. I think that he can get some of his efficiency back, but will he be a 46% field goal guy? Hell no, I don't think he gets to that. Will he shoot better than 29% from three? Yeah. But I do worry that this hip is going to rob him of that edge that he had. And he's 2 years older from that excellent season, that All-NBA season he had. He's 2 years older. He won't be getting back, and I think you should be factoring that hip injury into everything he does. Plus, the situation that he's in Denver is not conducive to him being back to being a top 15, top 20, top 50 type of player, but I do think that he has a chance at being a top 100 or at the very least a top 150 guy. Should score over 10 points per game, could get you 4 assists, and I think the efficiency does rise to some degree. Marcus Morris had a knee injury to start last season. I think he is going to cop it the biggest hit in Boston with the return of Gordo Hayward. He will move from that starting power forward role or reserve power forward role when they'd go with Baines and Horford there. He probably moves down to a fourth big role, maybe equal third, because they'll run Hayward at the four, Horford at the five, and then there's Baines that comes in when they need that bigger body. And then Morris, you could say that Morris is a bit better than Baines, and maybe you have that argument. But is he more important to what they need to do? I have my doubts about that. And Morris is a shot jacker who is inefficient. I don't think he's a very... he's an okay defender at times, not a great one. He's definitely not a good fantasy option. The knee is not a worry. It's more the circumstance. It's a consideration here. A couple of Clippers guys. Milos Teodosic dealt with that plantar fascia injury all last season. They didn't waive him, so he's on the roster. His role is going to be less this season with the return of Pat Beverley and the drafting of Shai Gilgeous-Alexander and perhaps a healthy Avery Bradley, who suffered a groin injury and was shithouse all of last season. Now, with Bradley, he was always going to dip, in my opinion. A larger offensive role, no ability to grab the rebounds that he did for that season in Boston, which really elevated his number. But I didn't think he'd be this bad. I think there is some level of bounce back happening for Avery Bradley. But I also think we can't discount the Boston factor. How much of it was not being in Boston? How much of it was the groin injury, which basically ruined his season? I think he's fine to look at as a bounce back sort of a player. But again, Lou Williams is there. And Milos, Beverly, Shai, Jerome Robinson. A couple of interesting players in that mix there. And Bradley's best season was the 60th ranked player in Boston, and he was 175th last season. He is never getting back to that top 60 type of number. And I don't even think he'll be a top 100 player. He dealt with injuries in that last season in Boston as well. The groin this year, well, I think the groin will be fine. It shouldn't be a problem. I'm not all that keen on him. We also have to remember Avery Bradley, he's definitely an underreported ship bloke as well, which, while that might not necessarily have an impact on his on-court play, he doesn't get mentioned as a ship bloke, but there is a definite ship bloke vibe about Avery Bradley. Last couple we want to talk about here, three ankle injuries. Dion Waiters missed pretty much all of the season. I don't know why they waited so long to have that surgery. It was an injury from the 16-17 season. He's not that good. I don't believe in Dion Waiters. I don't think he's going to be a fantasy relevant player. And we have to be concerned that this ankle has basically plagued him for 2 years. Hopefully the surgery's corrected it, but I do have my considerable doubts about that. Nerlens Noel missed a ton of games with a broken thumb last season. Not worried about that carrying over. The fact is his role is not great on the Thunder here behind Steven Adams. Now, there's some talk that maybe he could play alongside Adams with backing up Jeremy Grant at the four. And that's a possibility. He only needs 25 minutes to be a fantasy valuable player. I don't think he's going to get to that, though. The thumb's not a problem. And the last guy I want to talk about is Johnny Isaac, whose rookie season was wrecked by considerable ankle injuries. I think he's going to have an opportunity to play at the three, at the four, and perhaps at the five, probably less at the five, though. Should be getting mid-20s in minutes, elite steals and block numbers. Pretty good rebounding numbers, especially if he plays more at the four. He should be getting every minute that Aaron Gordon doesn't play at the four and an opportunity to play. Whether he starts over John Simmons, he's better than John Simmons, or whether he starts over Terrence Ross, he's better than Terrence Ross, remains to be seen. But a 25-minute role for John Isaac should be fine, and I'm not worried about the consistent ankle injuries he had last season. I don't think you should be either. Guys, that was way longer than I expected it to be. There's probably other guys that I didn't even touch on, but I wanted to go through and say, you know, what the injury status was of these guys, where we can, should we be worried about it looking forward and what it means for their long-term health. Go and follow me on Twitter at @RedRock_Bball and on Instagram at @LockedOnFantasyBasketball. Shout out to Elliot and Jeff.
My name is Jeff.
For handling the Instagram account for me. You can go and check those guys out and the work they do over there. If you are listening on Apple Podcasts, go and leave me a 5-star review. It is excellent when you do that. And you can also subscribe on Google Play, TuneIn, Stitcher, and on Spotify. And of course, YouTube. Give it the thumbs up. Smash the subscribe button. Leave a comment down below. Tell your friends. Share it on social media. Write it in a letter and mail it to one of your friends with a link on there that someone then has to go type into their computer. She can't hotlink a letter. Go and do all that stuff. Get it out to as many people as possible. Good luck in your Dynasty League drafts, which start tomorrow. Good luck in your startup Dynasty Leagues drafts, which start, most of them start the following week, and then we'll get ready for the Red Rock Challenge Leagues in the month of September. Guys, we are done here. Thank you so much for listening, everyone. See ya. Andrew Harrison.